And turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. But we're going to look at four verses, 22 through 25. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks in his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of man he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in all that he does. Not being the singer that Bruce is, I'm not going to sing for you, but I do have a couple of little songs that we could have used if we had had the music. I suggested them, and we couldn't find the music. And you know one of them, "What you are speaks so loud that people can't hear what you say." That's a good little ditty. But there's another one. We learned this one in Awana a couple of years back. And it goes like this. There is talk, talk, and then there's walk, talk. But your walk talks better than your talk talks. Well, get that one figured out a little bit. But true, your walk talk speaks more loudly than your talk talk does. And that's what this passage is about. We've been looking at this section, and the whole section is about receiving the word and responding to the word, hearing and heeding, apprehending and applying. That's what it's all about. And he's already told us how to receive the word. We saw this in two or three lessons. He says that we are to have a listening heart, a lowly heart, a peaceful heart, a wholesome heart, a welcoming heart, a willing heart. All of that we have looked at in previous times. But in these verses, he emphasizes responding to the word. Now that you've heard the word, now you know how to hear the word, now here's the way we respond to the word. Now, spiritual growth doesn't end with hearing the word. We understand that. We hear the word, and that doesn't prove a thing. It's good. It's necessary. Spiritual growth does not end with hearing the word, but it does begin there. There has to be a hearing of the word. That's just like salvation. Salvation, the word, a person who hears the word, that doesn't save him. But he must hear the word in order to be saved. The hearing has to come, either hearing it by hearing someone say it or by reading it, but the word has to be there in order for him to be saved. And spiritual growth is the same way. It doesn't end with hearing the word, but it must begin there. Spiritual growth begins with hearing the word, and it must not end there. So hearing is necessary. Hearing is not all there is to it. So, you have notes in your bulletin. You may follow along. We see, first of all, that there's a foolish hearer mentioned here in verse 22. The foolish hearer. He's the one who doesn't prove. He just hears. He just listens. That's all he does. You see, it starts off with the word but. But. Remember, the little words are important. We talked one last week, the therefore. And now this time, but. What does that mean? Well, it means that this is in contrast to what he just said. Verse 21 says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all remaining of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word." So the little but there says the word can sanctify us, but only to the extent that we do what it says. Now, this concept, doing what you hear, is not new. The concept is not new. It was in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 28:58, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in the book, that you may hear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged illnesses. You think it's important to hear it, to heed the law? If you didn't, those things could happen to you. Secret things, he says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. In fact, Paul quotes this in 1 Corinthians 1. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. doing is important. So it's not a new concept. Jesus taught it. He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. Right? So it is a very important concept, but it's not new. And the concept not new, but it also emphasizes be and not do. Now, as I worked on this, I thought, man, that's right. It doesn't talk about doing something. It's talking about becoming something. See that? Prove yourselves doers of the word. It doesn't say do something. It says be something. What are you going to be? Well, become doers of the word. Become something that you are not, is the idea. It's used in John 1:6. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And that word was there is the word become. There came to be, or there became a man, John. Now, John did not exist prior to his birth. He now becomes John. See? And that's in contrast to the other word was about Jesus, who always was. Different word. Same context. So James is saying, become a doer. Become a doer, not do something. If you say do something, you're saying, do this act. Well, I did this act, now I'm done. Oh, no. Become doers of the word. So whenever I hear the word, then I say, what can I do? Do you read the Bible like that? Let me read this passage. What should I do? Yeah? It's different than saying, oh, I think I'll have my devotions. Then you're going to hear the word. Say, read the word and say, now, what does he want me to do? That's a good way to read it. We're going to see a little later about you have to know what it says. You have to know what it means. But then you have to know what it means to me. See? What shall I do is a good question to ask. So James is saying, become something you're not. Become a doer. These people might well have been doing a good deed here and there. As we all do. But he's saying, become doers of the word. So it's not a be. Become. Now, and also, it fools only you. That is, if you don't do the word, it fools only you. You're not fooling anybody else. You know? Many people go to church just to hear. In some churches, just for the show. I can't believe the shows I see on TV. You know? And some of them have good messages. Great messages. You know, I'm thinking of my good old friend, what's his name, that I went to seminary with. He has a great show. They have some kind of a little play, and the orchestra and voices. I was thinking this morning, I was looking at one program, they have probably 10 times our number in their choir. but this is a great show. And it's good music, good everything. You know? And some of them also have a good message. Others have who knows what. But some have a great, and I was thinking about the fellow, my good old friend. Anyway, he always has a great message. You know, well, that happens. But anyway, all of that is to say that some people go to church. They don't go to find out what their duty is. They just go for the show, and they slip in, slip out. Nobody can know who they are. You know? Well, that's not sour grapes. I don't care. If they have large people, I don't care. I'll have my little bit. I'm just saying that if you aren't careful, that can happen. It can happen here just as well. Sure. You can slip in and slip out here, too. You know, same thing. Oh, I'm a member of that church. I go every Sunday. Well, that's wonderful. But if you only hear and don't do, then you're like a spiritual auditor. You know what an auditor is? You've been to school, mostly, most of you. And you know what an auditor is? Auditor goes and sits. In fact, we used to have one class. There were auditors in the class, and the professor made them sit in the back. And he said, don't ask anything. I think he was a little bit put out with them that they didn't pay for the whole class. They were just auditors. And say, okay, you sit back there, and all you regular people sit up here. And you can ask questions, what you want. You keep quiet back there. You're just an auditor. You want to hear? Okay, all you get to do is hear. Right? And they don't commit to do anything. They don't write papers. They don't study for exams. I'm out there studying for an exam. Here's this guy having a cup of coffee. I'm working on my exam. I'm for credit. He's for audit. You know, he just listens. They don't learn much either, of course. And they don't get credit. See, Jesus is looking for learners, disciples, people who become like him. He said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Yeah. So when you hear the word of the Lord, you hear Jesus' teachings, you ought to become a disciple. See? Be like him. That's the idea. Isn't that the whole point of the Christian life? To be like Jesus. That's it. And then you are my disciples, he said. His last command on earth was, make disciples. The Great Commission. Oh, I thought that was go. No, that's not go. It's make disciples. The only command in the Great Commission is make disciples. How do you make disciples? Well, by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. But make disciples is the last command Jesus gave to the church. Are we doing that? Make disciples? Hmm. Now, we emphasize the go. He emphasized make disciples. Now, this man, he says, who does that, just hears and doesn't do, that man has a serious case of self-delusion. Now, notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say that he deceives other people. Say that. Because, you know, you don't normally. People can spot a hypocrite. Oh, he says, but he doesn't do. He listens, but he doesn't follow. You know? That's a hypocrite. And most people aren't fooled by that. Some do, but not all. And James is not saying that. He's not saying you fool other people. He also doesn't say you fool God. You don't fool God. Remember what God said to Samuel? Samuel was about to anoint Jesse's oldest son. He was looking for the one to anoint. He said, go to Jesse, find his son, and I'll tell you which one. And so here comes the first one, and here gets the oil out, getting ready for him. No, wait, that's not the one. Then he says, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, and the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord's looking on your heart. You can please people, you know, dress right, talk right, do all that kind of thing, bring your Bible every time, bring your Awana booklet or whatever. But you don't please God by doing those things. What pleases God is what's in the heart, see? Amazing. So James says he doesn't fool others, he doesn't fool God, but he fools himself. Fools himself. See, his logic is this, major premise. All I have to do to please God is to go and listen. Minor premise, I go and listen. Conclusion, I please God. Is that logical? Yeah, it's logical. If you accept the major premise, the minor premise, then the conclusion follows. But there's something wrong with it. It's not true. It's logical, but it's not true because the major premise is wrong. It isn't God wants more than just to hear the word. So it's not that. But this man's happy. He believes it, and he's deceived himself. So that's the foolish hearer. Don't be a foolish hearer. Then there's the forgetful hearer, 23 and 24. Verse 23 says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks in at his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself in a mirror. Now, mirrors in those days were bronze pieces, and they would hammer them out and make them smooth as they could, and that was their mirror. Well, sometimes the mirror wasn't quite as good as it could have been. Did you ever go to a circus or a fun house? See those strange mirrors? They show you all nice and trim, and then the others show you big, fat. Yeah? The fun mirror, that's fun. But see, those mirrors don't give you a true picture of who you are. And sometimes those bronze mirrors did that. But he says there's something better. What does he see there? He goes to the mirror of the Word, and he sees that's a perfect mirror. And so he sees himself. Now, what does it mean, he sees himself? I quite frankly, up until I worked on this message, I thought he was saying it was something bad. He sees himself, he sees how dirty he is, how bad he is, and he goes away and forgets it and doesn't do anything about it. I don't think so. Don't think that's what he's saying at all. I think he sees something good. He sees the face of his birth. Whoa. What do you mean, face of his birth? When he was a baby, the face that he had when he was born? No, that's not good. You ever notice that? You ever see a pretty baby? Not your grandchildren, they're all pretty. A pretty baby, they're ugly. The face of his birth. You know, when someone says, isn't that a pretty baby? I say, boy, that is a baby. I know a lot of, that's a baby. Well, but he's not talking about the natural face physically. He's talking about the face of your birth spiritually. Interesting thing. I think he goes back to verse 21, where he talks about the implanted Word, and back to verse 18, where he talks about we are born with the Word. He brought us forth, see? He brought us forth with the Word of truth. So when we go to the Word, we see the face of our spiritual birth. We see what we are, something good, not something bad. But he sees that, and then he walks away and forgets what he saw. Now, he sees then what he is by God's grace, and then he is commanded to live accordingly. Boy, isn't that a good way to go? That's a lot better than saying, you're bad, you got to get good. No, you're good. Before God, you are perfect. Before God, you have been given the righteousness of God, and look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of the Word, and you find you are a believer, and you are perfect before God. Now, live like that. Isn't that better than saying, you scoundrel? You're good. Now live up to that. You have a child. Oh, you're doing great. You're wonderful. Not how bad. Well, anyway, that's what he's saying. He's saying, look at your position in Christ. Look at the face of your birth. Don't forget when you walk away. He goes away. As many people do out of the church, walk out of the church, never think a thing about that again, about what's said, what they learned, what they heard. They take nothing with them because they were only hearers and not learners. This man was a hearer. He's a forgetful hearer. He forgets. He observes himself, goes away, and then he forgets what he saw. He forgets that he's a child of God. How can you forget this? Well, it's convenient, because if I forget that I'm a child of God, I can do whatever I want. I used to have a young man working for me in the grocery store. He was a believer. He was in one of those churches that believed you could lose your salvation. He claimed to be a believer. And so one day I heard him say some things, and I said, hey, Charles. You're not living like that. You're a believer. Oh, no, I lost it. So now he's got an excuse. No. Go to the Word and find out you are a believer. Don't look at yourself and say, oh, look at all I did. I must have lost it. No, you can't lose it. The Word says you still have it. You can't lose it, see? Now, live like that. Well, then he comes in the third section here, verse 25. To the faithful hearer. Now, he says in verse 25, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become himself a forgetful hearer, but an effectual hearer, this man will be blessed in what he does. He comes to the perfect law of liberty. What? That sounds like an oxymoron. Contradiction in terms, like thunderous silence, or sweet sorrow, or if you know Music Man, goodbye. Where is the good in goodbye? It's an oxymoron. It's strange. And James, of course, is not speaking here of the Mosaic Law. Otherwise, that would be totally out of place. Because the Mosaic Law is a law of bondage. But the Mosaic Law has been done away. Have I said that before? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The Mosaic Law has been done away. He's not talking about the Mosaic Law here. It's been done away. Hebrews chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Mosaic Law has been done away in its entirety. The Ten Commandments? All gone. No more. The Ten Commandments are gone too. Oh, then it's okay to kill. No, no. The new covenant, the covenant that replaced the old covenant, says don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet. Don't da, 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 da. What does it not say? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Not there. Ah, that's why we didn't come here yesterday. The law has been done away. Get your theology straight, get this straight, and all your theology will fall into place. Well, at least some of it. Okay. So, he's saying that the perfect law of liberty is not the Mosaic Law. You know, Peter called the Mosaic Law the yoke of bondage which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. Acts 15. See, the law didn't produce any kind of incentives to obey. Nothing inside to help. It just said, do it or else. You know, big club, and that's it. All it produced was fear and guilt. But the new covenant, Paul says, the letter kills. This is 2 Corinthians 3. The letter kills, but the spirit, the new covenant, gives life. The law was a ministry of death, he says. But the new ministry, the new covenant, is a ministry of life. Righteousness could never come by the law, Galatians 3:21. So this is not that law. Under the new covenant, God works from the inside out. He plants it in our heart, and then it comes out. That's the new covenant. That's the law of liberty. And so he says, you look at the law of liberty, and then this word is the new covenant. Now, a careful examination is what he takes. He looks, he says. He stoops down and looks. He looks intently. If you, especially when you get a little older, the bifocals. Your arms aren't long enough, so you have to get some glasses, And you have to look intently to see what it is. You saw me leaning over here? I didn't bring, from the office, I didn't bring my enlarged text. And I'm leaning down to see. I'm stooping down to see what's there. It's the same, only used twice, two other places in the Bible. 1 Peter. Peter says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering these things, which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then he says, which things the angels desire to stoop down and look into. Why would they do that? Why are they concerned about that? Well, when the angels fell, God didn't bring any kind of a salvation to them, as far as we know. No salvation. The angels are saying, what? These people? You're giving them salvation? You're sending your son to die for mankind? You didn't do that for the angels. So they're looking down. How is this possible? Let me see what's going on. And guess what? Corinthians says, they're here. We teach angels, he says. And angels are looking into what we're doing here. Whoa. There's plenty of room for them. They're on that side. Say hi to all the angels. We'd take them to lunch, but they don't eat much. No? Angels are desiring, they're stooping down to look into, see what this is all about. They're that interested. And then Peter, Luke 24:12, Peter went to the tomb, and the door was open, stone was rolled back. And so here he comes, looking in, and he looks to the edge, and what's going on? Can't see. He's stooping down to look in there. Old John comes along, right on in, impetuous youth. Let me go in there and see what's going on. Peter, it says, was stooping down, looking inside. Here's what it says. Peter rose and went to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloth lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. Stooping down, looking into it. So he says, when we come to the Word, we need to have a careful examination, looking at it very carefully. Careful examination. The faithful hearer learns what the Word says first. You have to know what it says. Do you know how many people argue over what the Bible says and the Bible doesn't say that at all? That's why when someone says to me, explain this to me, where is it? Now, open your Bible to it. Number one, I want them to know they don't know the Bible. Open your Bible. Well, it's somewhere. Okay, let me show you. It's here. Now, what does it say? Oh, it doesn't say that at all. I thought it said it must be some other place. No, no, that's it. You just got it wrong. So you have to know what the Bible says, first of all. A couple of things came to my mind. People say, you can't just believe the gospel and be saved. No, I thought that's what Jesus said. Believe and you have eternal life. Isn't that true? No, no. Because James says in chapter 2, verse 19, you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Demons aren't saved. What do they believe? It says here, they believe that there is one God. That's what they believe. And people don't know that. Believers don't know that. Preachers don't know that. I hear preachers say, oh, you have to do more than believe. Demons believe and tremble. Read your Bible, Mr. Preacher. They believe that there is one God. Muslims believe there's one God. Almost everybody believes there's a God. You believe there's a God? Well, maybe you'll be saved. No, no. You have to believe the gospel message, and you'll be saved. Well, another one, a little closer to home. This is what they say. If you don't repent, you'll go to hell. Where's that in the Bible? Oh, it's there. It says here. Luke 13:5 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It's in one of the big tracts Southern Baptists have. That verse. And I sent a whole big, you'll see the thing I sent. Oh, don't. 6 or 8 pages. Didn't hear a word. But they changed the tract. Yeah. Well, if you don't believe, if you don't repent, you'll all likewise perish. That's verse 5. Verse 4 says, though, are those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them spiritually? No. Killed them physically. See? Not talking about spiritual death. He's talking about physical death. See? Then he says after that, the tower killed them. If you don't repent, you'll all likewise perish, be killed. What the Word says is very important. That's called revelation. Then we have to find out what the Word means. That's called interpretation. And that requires careful examination. Now, whether you're a professional, a vocational, if you say that word, or a laborer, no matter what you are, you have to study in order to do your job. Right? You got books. You get books and you get tapes and you get videos. You take classes to find out what the modern trends are and the methods and so forth. You take practicums to improve your skills. Don't you? You say, well, not the laborers. Oh, yeah. Did you ever go into a Burger King? I couldn't do what they do. Man, they're in there. It goes into the computer, goes up on there, and then pretty soon, here comes my order. And they look up, and you know what they have? They go to college. You ever go down south? Burger King College. It's around the board. Burger King College. That's where they go to college. They study. They study how to do that. That's a training thing, but that takes study. They have to learn how to do it. And the more they do, the more they learn. Well, all of us, we have certain things to do. We have to study. We have to work at it. Well, we do that for 30 to 40 years of service. Maybe you get 40. Get old as I am. I got started late. I had to keep on going. But 30 or 40 years, and I worked so hard. Go to college, go to all kinds of things I did in order to work for 30 or 40 years. Now, when you go home, check your library. How many books do you have to help you understand the Bible? I know Fred has some because I borrowed one. The instructions to attain proficiency in serving the Lord are in the Word. And books can help us learn that. Tapes and notes and videos can help us learn that, see? Of course, not just that, but how much time have you spent in them to learn the Word? Do you work on the Word as much as you do work on work? Do you do that? You know, many classes are free to learn the Word. Do you attend? Do you learn? Do you practice your service for the millennium? For eternity? See, this is the rehearsal time. In the NFL, they have a saying, the way you practice is the way you will play. Yeah? Where you practice through the week is where you'll play on Sunday. The Dolphins had a terrible practice session. Terrible. Boy, that was awful. That's where they played in practice. You drop a ball in practice, you don't say, oh, it's just practice. No, no. I dropped that ball. Why did I drop that ball? Yeah. Well, they didn't do much of that last week. This is the rehearsal. We're preparing for millions of years to serve the Lord. You know, we're not going to go up there and sit on a cloud somewhere and play the harp. Some beautiful clouds up there this morning. I love them. Not going to do that. We're preparing to serve the Lord. Are we ready? Are you working at it? No. Now, a careful examination, but also diligent application. See, not only does it say revelation, not only does it mean interpretation, but what does it mean to me? That's application. Now, if I do that, then I'll be preparing myself to be blessed. He is blessed in all that he does. Now, blessed in all that he does here and now. I believe the one who serves the Lord, who hears the word and does the word, that person is going to be blessed here and now. Now, I don't mean he's going to drive a Rolls. I mean he's going to be blessed. The Lord is going to bless the one who serves him here and now. You say, well, you're not too rich. I'm not. But I'll tell you one thing. I love what I do. I love it. I come here every day. Why? I love getting into the Word. I love doing the things I'm doing. I love hearing from Nigeria that there are people out there who want to study the Word. People out there who want to teach the Word using our materials. Isn't that great? That's what I get involved in. That's what I love. Well, we'll be blessed here and now. But we'll also be blessed later. The reward comes, you know. The reward is a place in the kingdom. Do you think everybody is going to be in the kingdom? No. Sorry. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we have to earn a place in the kingdom. And the way we serve here and now is the place the way we'll serve in the kingdom if we get into the kingdom. Whoops. We'll be on the earth. We'll be in the millennium. Be on the earth. That's our promise from our salvation. But being in the kingdom, serving in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, will be an earned thing. Read the book of Revelation. Well, you're in Revelation. And you get into chapter 2. Every one of those churches is promised something if they overcome. Preserve. That will be a part. So, your talk talks, and your walk talks, but your walk talks better than your talk talks. Not only to us, but to the Lord Himself. How are you talking? Are you walk talking or just talk talking?